So there was one particular time I was on a trip and I had a little bit of a guilty conscience. I can't even remember what it was, but there's something I'd done or something I'd said. I think it was a conversation. Something I had said in a conversation had just given me a bit of a guilty conscience. And I was sitting in the airport and I saw a priest in a cassock, a priest of the fraternity of St. Peter. I found that out later. He was in his cassock and I was like, and I was a seminarian. I was like, I could go to confession right now if I wanted to. I could stop this priest. So I was debating in my mind. I was like, well, was this a sin or not? And as I was examining my heart, I came to the conclusion that it was sin for a particular reason. I thought of a priest that I knew very well, very holy priest, bit of a mentor. And I thought, would he have done this? Could I see him doing the same thing that I did? And the answer was no. I don't think he would have done it. And that occurred to me in that moment. That is a profound principle of the spiritual life. So often, when it comes to doing good day in and day out, to moving with the Holy Spirit, to discerning how to properly exist in each situation, it's not just about memorizing facts, it's not about analyzing data, but it's rather about internalizing who Jesus is. And we do that in a network of relationships. This is why it's incredibly important in any community that we have old elders, people of wisdom. This is also important why it's important to be connected to the broader community, because what happens is as we hear the voice of others, people, those older voices of wisdom, we hear in them the gentle voice of the shepherd. I saw that in that priest. It wasn't just things he said. It wasn't just information. It was this whole manner of life, of existing, that taught me how to be a priest and how to be a true disciple and a true Christian. We hear in today's gospel this idea that Jesus has been laying out for us in John's gospel last weekend and this weekend. Remain in my love. Remain with me. And it seems so simple at first, right? Oh, just love everybody. Well, we know that's a little bit tougher, right? It's not just about maximizing good feelings. It's not always about being nice. I love Southern hospitality, but it's not always just about smiling a lot, like bless their heart. It's a little bit deeper than that. At the core of it, to remain in Jesus, to learn how to be loving day in and day out, is about being in a state of grace and internalizing who Jesus is. So I want to talk about some difficult things, not necessarily to judge, but I'll just kind of throw it out there a little bit. I think sometimes we need to get back to this awareness of living in a state of grace. There's concrete ways the church tells us that we can fall out of a state of grace. There's the precepts of the church. So there's Sunday mass attendance. That's an obligation that the church gives us. And I'm going to come back to that in a second. There's also the obligation to confess at least once a year and to confess whenever we fall into mortal sin, our mortal sins in number and kind. The precepts of the church, also holy days of obligation. And there's also other ways that we can fall out of that state of grace from that we know from the Ten Commandments and the teachings of the church. And you know, I know so often, I'm just going to mention a few, there's a lot of big disagreements. And to be honest with you, I've heard even from my own family, not my immediate family members, but at some point, my parents would have disagreed with some of the teachings of the church. But we know that there's a lot of strong opinions about things about like contraception, the sexual sins. There's many young people who think, well, let's try to live together before marriage to see if this all works out. And I'm not bringing this all up to make people uncomfortable or because I'm judging folks. A lot of people I know and love, a lot of people who I enjoy being around, have strong opinions on a lot of those subjects. But what I would say, my whole two cents, is I've gone all in with the church teaching. That is, those folks, you know, I could maybe sit down, have a couple hour conversation and explain all I've learned and try to help them understand. And I know that maybe even then they still might disagree. And I recognize perhaps I could be wrong. Perhaps the church could be wrong on some of this stuff, but that's a gamble. That really is. When it boils down to it, somebody's gambling against an organization that's been around for 2,000 years and has really thought about this, not just one person, but thousands of people who've thought about these things collectively. And I could break down how the church has the authority to speak on these subjects, but what I would just say is I would just encourage you, take the Pepsi challenge. Try believing the Catholic Church on these things. Try embracing the whole vision that the church has for your life. Because what I've been convicted of is that what we hear in today's gospel, that if you embrace that vision of staying in a state of grace, striving to do it week by week, examining your heart, living chastely, recognizing the church's teaching, living by it, you're going to open your heart to love, and you're going to discover true happiness. And yes, there's going to be suffering that's going to come along with it. But in the midst of that suffering, you're going to have a deeper foundation. That's what I've come to believe. That's why I'm coming to preach. And I preach this not as one who thinks of myself as better than others, but simply as a friend. I mean, I preach these things because I like y'all, you know? And I want you to be happy. So consider that today, to embrace that church's teaching on all those uncomfortable areas, the precepts of the church, the sexual sins, contraception, embrace it all. And what I believe will happen, what I'm betting my whole life on, is that you will discover happiness. Amen.